I'm going to say something. Then I'll put
Blog
you on.
Talk Radio.
And welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com and the author of the Prayer Prescription Series. In fact, the Prayer Prescription Series is the sponsor of the show. Please go to katelovingschenck.com to receive a free book I wrote called 22 Keys to Self-Healing. Just put your information into the box on the upper right-hand side of the page and you will receive the book. My guest this evening is Samantha West, whom I affectionately call the Golden Retriever Whisperer. Her dog Gandalf, whom is a red-headed golden, is Samantha's healing partner. Recently, she has another dog living with she and Gandalf called Sasha, a German shepherd, whom worships the ground Gandalf walks, sleeps, and eats on. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Please join me in welcoming Samantha West. Hello, Samantha.
Hi, Kate.
How are you?
I am just fine. I'm just fine. I have a household.
Yes, you do have a household. And what are they doing at this very moment?
Well, they're sitting outside the door because Sasha is very chatty, and I want to be able to hear on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
She's got several variations in her voices.
Oh, my gosh. She is precious. And we were just discussing before we came on the air that Sasha is a temporary guest, but she...
5 weeks. But, I will have had her for 5 weeks this Saturday.
Oh. And she's going to go back home, and she's going to miss Gandalf. Gandalf will miss her, but not the same way that she misses
Gandalf.
Probably
not.
Mainly because she's the kid, you know?
She's
like a puppy, and he is... firmly entrenched in his healing life with you. And then when she leaves again, you can get into your wonderful healing life that you have with Gandalf. Tell us about how he is your healing partner.
Well, whenever I'm working on someone, I do a lot of absentee healing. And when I'm working on someone, he's always in the room with me. Now, sometimes he touches me and sometimes he doesn't, but he's always right there. And I have a sense of him being with me.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in a meditation or when I have my hands on someone, the first time that I was working on someone and I had my hands on the edge of the bed and he came over and put his paws on top of my hands was very, it really took my breath away.
Yeah.
And he just laid down and stayed that way the whole time I worked on the woman. But wherever I'm working, I have a particular place in the house that I sit down and work on someone, and he comes in and sits either at my feet or on the bed beside me.
So he is... He will always be your healing partner, even after he transcends the physical realm.
I believe he will, yes.
Now, William, William is your other golden retriever that you had before Gandalf. Did he have that same kind of intuition, or what was his intuition like? I'm sure it was not the same.
Well, it was different. He was my first golden, and that was 17 years ago. And I went to pick him up, and I was so excited that I went early. And mm-hmm. when I came to the location, there was no one there. And mm-hmm. so I walked around the house, and when I got right to the edge of the house, this beautiful big male came running up to me, wagging his tail and, you know, looking very happy and pleasant. And I tried to go past him,
mm-hmm.
the back of the house, and he growled at me.
Oh, cool.
And then when I backed up, he wagged his tail. So I could throw sticks for him and everything, but I could not go past the house.
Mm-hmm.
The house was open. When
yeah.
the man came, I'd already, of course, fallen in love with the father. When the man came, he said that he never had to close the house because the dog, George, would always come up to people, but he wouldn't let them pass the house.
Yeah.
And so then I was all primed to find William, and he was
yeah.
their last puppy, and
oh.
I just fell in love with him instantly. He came home with me, and at that time I had several cats, and shortly after that, my aunt died, and I inherited another cat and a lab that was about 10 years old. And
aww.
So they stayed with me until they passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And William, my daughter had a big, beautiful St. Bernard. And William and the St. Bernard were great buddies. She was a girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when she died, they had to put her to sleep. She had cancer. And 3 weeks later, I had to put William to sleep.
Oh, my goodness. Why?
Who had cancer.
That suddenly surfaced, his cancer.
Well, he had cancer in one eye, and he had a large growth on a leg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was, you know, they were within 3 weeks of one another.
And they just loved each other.
They did. They did. So I always feel like he's with her and she's with him.
Well,
and then
they are.
A year later, I got
mm-hmm.
William. And I, again, went to someone who had, it was the first set of puppies, and they had two boys.
This is Gandalf, right?
This is Gandalf, yeah.
Yeah,
they had
yeah.
two boys, and I went over, sat down on a thing, and Gandalf ran up to me and jumped in my lap.
And that was that.
And that was that. But
yeah.
He's the most intuitive dog I've ever had. He
mm-hmm.
he's very, when I'm working on someone, he seems to sense whether it's serious or not serious, because I notice that he'll come closer to me
mm-hmm.
if it's really a critical case or someone is very, very ill. Years ago when I was doing Reiki, William would come and lay underneath the table.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't surprise me because animals, as you know, Kate, are very,
mm-hmm.
very sensitive to that kind of energy.
Yes.
When I'm meditating, any animal that's in the house wants to come in and be there. And I think it's the same with healing. It's that energy. They feel that energy and that flow.
Well, what I was going to say about Gandalf coming closer, when he perceives, I'm sure rightly, that a person is more seriously ill than
mm-hmm.
maybe even you knew at that moment. Is that
yes.
kind of a, do you take a cue from him sometimes that the person?
No, I think it's a mutual thing, Kate. There's not,
uh-huh.
it's very interesting to me because, as I said, this is the most intuitive animal I have ever, well, dog, cat, anything, this is the most intuitive one. I can
yes.
be sitting someplace and just think his name, and he's in the room.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he just really, it's really an old, old connection, I think. I think
well,
he's me before.
Gandalf is a very energetic dog, and he's extremely, you know, Gandalf is Gandalf. There's
yes,
nobody
he is.
Like him. He's mm-hmm. himself the whole way. I had the pleasure of meeting him one time, and I want to meet him. I want to bring him and Pearl together because I know they met one time.
That'd
I know
fun,
they haven't
yes.
forgotten each other. Yes. And so we will do that. But there's just something so Gandalf is Gandalf kind of energy that he is lively, he's demonstrative, he is a comic, he's a clown, he is, and he's a healer.
Yeah, he's a very mellow dog. He really is. But he loves to play. I mean, he just
yes.
has this great sense of presence, and yet he is a playful dog. He's the most playful dog I've ever had. And he just, you know, he invents games for himself. He rolls
yeah.
Tennis balls off tables so he can catch them and puts them in the tub. And, you know, he just plays all the time. So this has been a real lot of fun for Sasha.
Yeah, I bet. Well, you know, Mukunda, my dog that the first dog I had after about 28 years, was like that too. We invented a game together where he would push the ball to me and I would kick it back to him, and we could do that and we did it to music, so we were both dancing. That
oh,
was really
wow,
fun.
Nice.
Yeah. So he was dancing as long as he was able to push a ball in my direction, and then I was able to take him to visit my father in a nursing home, where he would just play with drop the ball and people who really were out of it and bring them back to an awareness that apparently they hadn't been there. And they were able to slowly reach down and pick up the ball and throw it for him. And he just delighted in being able to have that role for the short time, really relatively short time that he had it. I think
mm-hmm.
he would have been a perfect therapy dog. He would have
well,
been.
Sorry, it's too bad he couldn't have done it longer then.
Yeah, because he loved my dad, too, and he was another one who would pop underneath a bed or a table when we were doing healing work, and
mm-hmm.
he was just very, 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 very in tune, very intuitive. Does Gandalf know a lot of words? Does he know a lot of English words? He must if he's that intuitive.
I think he does. He listens very attentively, but like... Like most dogs, if they want to hear you, they hear you, and if they don't, they don't.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
My daughter used to the Saint Bernard that my daughter had. Her name was Ripley, and you could call her, and she would look at you. Now I think Ripley was a little on the slow side, because you would call her, and she would look at you, and then look around like, where have I heard that before? I know that
well, maybe,
somewhere.
I wonder if that's her joke, her little joke. Like,
yeah.
Who? You know? That's adorable. Oh, gosh. Tom was mentioning this morning, my husband Tom was mentioning that there was a child that was discovered in India who was raised by the wolves. Now, I think there's more than one child that was ever raised by a pack of wolves. But this one in particular was one that came to the surface of the media, or let's say the surface of human consciousness in a way. And the child was, as a consequence of being raised with wolves, he was able to hear acutely, smell acutely, have vision miles away that ordinary humans have never. In fact, when you look at scientists' evaluation of human behavior, would never say that a human has that kind of capacity to hear, to see, to smell. So
yeah.
Anyway, this child was, acclimated back into, or not even back, it was acclimated into society and was able to show science that this is possible. And he was also very intuitive, intuitive in an animal sense, that
yes.
The animals know things that we don't know. And this is what this child was able to keep with him as he grew old. And he must have died in the 1930s. So I think
wow.
that would be an interesting topic to research.
It would.
Because being raised with Well, and so I was thinking in terms of you living with Sasha and Gandalf right now, you're actually living with a pack of dogs.
Yes.
So what have you learned from by doing that?
Well, you know, it's been very interesting to me because I really love dogs. And I was looking forward to having Sasha here.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a German Shepherd Golden Retriever mix, but I think all of her genes are German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a girl who likes a job. She wants to do things. She wants to carry things. She wants to pick things up. She wants to have a regimented kind of setup.
Mm-hmm.
Gandalf,
mm-hmm.
on the other hand, is, for, you know, he doesn't care about that too much, but he likes tennis balls. Sasha, right away, figured out that that's what his focus was.
Yeah.
So, when I throw the tennis ball, she runs faster and catches it. And then she makes him get the tennis ball away from her.
Yes.
Now, it's very interesting. When I'm sitting there, I hadn't thought of this before, but of course, it is a pack. And when I'm sitting in the living room and the two of them are sleeping in the living room, I only have to move slightly, and they're both awake and checking.
Oh, yeah.
What's
yeah.
going on? What's happening? And Gandalf doesn't bark at all at any of the neighbors. But now that Sasha's here, he woofs every once in a while when some of them, there's a little alley between my fence and the neighbor's fence. And sometimes kids go through there. And now that's something to pay attention to. So they're down there checking that out every moment. I used to have a Shar Pei, and my daughter had the mother, and I had one puppy, and my mother had the other one. I mean, my daughter had the mother.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, I used to watch them. This was before my yard was fenced in.
Mm-hmm.
One would sit at one end of the yard, and one would sit at the other end. One would bark, and I live on a corner. One would bark as people went past the front of the house, and then she would be quiet. The other one would start barking when they came to the other side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
They're just natural guarders.
And they too tame each other.
Exactly. When the puppies were small, they were like, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks old. And they would, no, earlier than that, must have been 3 weeks. They would run, all six of them, to the door barking when the mailman came.
Don't you wonder what it is it was about a dog and a mailman, male woman?
I don't know.
It is something that goes on and on and on, and nobody really knows why, but a mailman and a dog are basically incompatible.
Well, you know what I think it is? I think it's the noise. They drop something. They interfere with the space.
And they come through they come at the same time every day, and the dog knows they're coming, and it's annoying, and they play. Maybe it's a game. Maybe it's a game.
Can't do it. Can't have that.
So you have had only two golden retrievers, but in the past you've had many dogs.
I have had a dog as early as I can remember. Crawling, I had a dog. Her name was... Yeah. No, I've had dogs all my life. And all different kinds of dogs. But I had always wanted a golden retriever.
Oh, yes.
Shar Pei, when my Shar Pei finally passed, that was when I began looking for a golden retriever. And I looked at rescue places first, and they said I had to have a fenced-in yard, and I didn't have that yet.
Yeah.
So I fenced in a yard, and then just by chance, I heard about William. Of course, he wasn't William then, but I heard about a golden retriever puppy.
Yes.
And so when I got him, I was like, oh, my goodness. And it was
lovely.
They
are precious. Oh, they're precious to have as a puppy, aren't they? Oh, my heavens.
They just have this huge, huge heart. that as soon as William, as soon as he saw a child, he just began to wiggle.
Oh, how sweet.
God, it's a child. You know, I mean, hey, I like you. And it's genuine. It's just, you know, it's very hard for people to be cranky around golden retrievers because they're just full of themselves. And you, they just can't wait to see you. I met an old one the other day. I went to a yard sale and I met this, her name's Brittany, charming. Mm-hmm. She's 10. And I said to the man, bring her over for a play date. And he said, he was moving to a townhouse. He said, are you serious? And I said, I am. I said, I have a big golden retriever that would just love to meet her.
Oh, my gosh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Watching the interaction.
Hard so you can play easily.
Watching the interaction between these dogs is just a beautiful thing to see. It really is. And,
well, you take your little sweetie out to the dog park.
Well, she's terrified of the dogs out there. But she
that's hard because they're different sizes.
She does love dogs, and our son has about 4 to 5 little dogs, about 3 little dogs and a big Australian Shepherd. And when she goes into that wonderful environment, they chase each other all over the place, and they have a fenced-in yard, and they go carrying out into the yard. And just the pack mentality is just a fascinating experience. But they can't.
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. I will soon, when Sasha goes home, then I will be getting my sister and her husband and their 2 dogs. They have an old Labrador mix, and they also have a Bull Mastiff mix. And then you have 3 boys. And the dynamic.
They know and love each other.
Well, they like each other, but it's always the one-upmanship.
I see.
In Sasha's case, she's the younger dog. She's only a year old, Gandalf's 6. And she's just so besotted with him.
Yeah, she loves him. Oh, my gosh, she worships the ground. He actually is privileged. She's privileged to be in his existence.
Well, the other thing is, Kate, that she actually, when he wears out and stops, she'll go, wah, 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 you know, trying to get him. You know, just anything to, and she'll come over and nuzzle his face. Oh, come on, let's play. I'm not done yet.
Oh, she's really young.
Yeah, she is. She is.
Is she fighting things a lot? Is she?
Oh, no, because I have an enormous amount of bones in the house. And when Gandalf had a chicken allergy, at least that's what the vet thought, I got these bones from the feed store that don't have anything on them. They're just baked bones. And so they have those in addition to marrow bones.
I see.
I hope you can't hear that because she's outside the door woofing.
Well, they know the word bones.
Yes. Well, no, what it is one member of the pack is out of the way.
Yes.
So nosy. Dogs are so nosy. There is not one place in this house that I can go that Gandalf is not there with me.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't have another dog in the house, it's the 2 of us.
Oh, and that is a real loving...
First downstairs.
That's a real love relationship, isn't it?
It is. It is. Now, Sasha is not supposed to go upstairs, and she doesn't care to go downstairs. And William, my other golden retriever, didn't like to go downstairs. He didn't mind going upstairs, but he didn't like to go downstairs in the basement. And she's not supposed to go either place, and so I have a gate at the bottom of the steps. But Gandalf, from the get-go, was wherever I was.
Well, now, my dog Pearl has a real intuition about deer. And even if there's a deer across the river, way across the river, she knows that she knows all about where those deer are. And then she's very intuitive about the dogs that are in the neighborhood. And even before we know that the one dog is out, she just really is in tune with certain things that have to do with animals. And
well,
squirrels,
she's a dick, isn't she?
She's what?
A digger? Doesn't she
She's
like
a digger.
To dig moles?
She buries bones. Oh, yeah, she loves voles, little voles, yes.
Yes.
Because she was a wild dog, and originally she was a wild dog out in Tennessee, and she was living off bugs and voles.
Oh, God.
And she's still doing that. She's still digging for voles, and she's still, you know, now that the bugs are coming back, she's just barely coming back. She's really interested in eating bugs.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's going to take a little while to get her wildness out of her. I don't know if that she ever will.
Probably not.
Now, I'm just going to tell our guests that we have in the chat room that we only have 4 minutes to the show, but Samantha and I are going to be chatting for a while, even after the show has ended, because I am not sure how long we can do that before the Blog Talk Radio shuts us down. So we're just going to experiment with that tonight.
Sounds good.
Yeah, three minutes and 55 seconds. I'm used to 60 minutes. And
well, this is a new thing for you then, Kate.
Yeah, it's going fast. And it wouldn't be just as easy to say, well, we have 3 minutes left on the show, and if you had a website, I would let the people know. If people do want to have healing by you and Gandalf, though, Samantha, what do you recommend? How would you like people to get a hold of you for your expertise with your beautiful Gandalf?
Well, they could use my website, which is just my regular one. It's westhobbithouse@aol.com.
Wow. I mean, that is actually your email address.
Yep. They could send it to email. That would be fine.
Would westhobbithouse.com be your website?
No, it isn't a website. It's just my email.
Okay. So westhobbithouse@aol.com.
Right.
And so obviously you have an affinity with the hobbits.
Well, years ago, Kate, when you see my house, you'll understand. Years ago, before I bought it, somebody said to me, "Geez, that looks like a hobbit house."
Oh.
It's an old Sears kid house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it stuck.
It's great. It's so you.
When I was looking for an email address, I thought, oh, well, West Hobbit House. Because there must be an East and a North and a South Hobbit House somewhere.
And we know that there are. And
I'm
there
sure
is.
Of it.
Well, I want to tell you a story about how much I love dogs was when I was a kid. We had a Eskimo Spitz, and the dog it bit me in the throat, and I never told anybody because I didn't want that dog to be put down or be scolded or anything like that. Of course, it did bite another child later on, but I just knew that would be the end of the dog, and so I didn't want anything to happen to him. He wasn't my favorite dog of all time, but he was a persnickety little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we called him Moby Dick. Well, he was really my brother's dog, and he had him. He couldn't really take him into the fraternity house at the time he was in college. So we had him at the family homestead and pretty much took care of him. He was our dog, really.
Yeah. It's interesting how dogs get passed about.
Yes, and it's really great. It's great.
Yeah,
because sometimes,
it is. Mm-hmm. But they still pick their people, you know.
They do. Nothing like a cat, but they do pick their people.
Oh, no, nothing like a cat. I adore cats, but they're completely different than dogs.
Well, they're supposed to even be more intelligent than a dog.
I think that's probably true. They just, you know, there's that old saying that dogs, that cats have staff.
Yeah.
You know, a dog's love is humbling.
Yes, it is. It's when they
really
choose
no other word for it.
When they when they look you in the eye with that love, 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 or lick your hand or respond to something you say, there's just absolutely nothing more beautiful in the world.
There isn't. And honestly, you just, it's such an all-encompassing kind of affection that it just defies words. A cat does not give you that. They love
no.
me. I had a Siamese that loved me enough that when she was having kittens, she brought them into the bed with me.
Mm-hmm.
I would take them out and put them in the drawer. She would bring them back in and have another kitten.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of intuitive, Tom had a dog whose name was Lydia, a German Shepherd dog, and she had a litter of puppies at the same time that he and his first wife had a child who was premature and only weighed, I don't think it was more than 3 pounds.
Wow.
Because that was our son, Devin. He was in the NICU for a while and so forth. So when he came home, Lydia, the German Shepherd, had, as I said, had a litter of puppies, and one of them was a runt. And she
mm-hmm.
only brought the runt up into bed to nurse that dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gwen would nurse her, whom Lydia had ascertained was a small little human like her puppy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that just adorable? I mean, that is very intuitive.
My daughter had this Shar Pei, and she had 6 puppies. And the runt of the litter, Wunjo, which was my dog,
mm-hmm.
she nursed separate from the other puppies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, they say, well, if one isn't good, then they don't take care of them. But look at those two.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We and then we were actually living with a huge pack of dogs back in when we were virtually homeless. A group of us lived with these dogs and lived in a caravan, you know, what do you call them, a panel truck. And then finally we settled in San Francisco and lived with the dogs there, and then eventually brought them back to Southern Lancaster County where we lived on a commune with these dogs. And so living with a lot of dogs, and I'm not just talking about 2 or 3,
right,
say 10 to 15 dogs. That was an experience. Each one had its own personality, and there was one or two that were really the ruler of the pack. In such a way, though, as not to be violent or obstructive, but every dog knew that was the one. And the one that his name was Delaney. My brother named himself after his dog. And Delaney was a lab mixed, and I really believe he was mixed with Dalmatian. That
mm-hmm.
dog never had to be on a lead. He would walk through the city streets with my brother. He really chose my brother. He wasn't too interested
yes.
in anybody else at all.
He
was always at my brother's heel, never needed a lead, and then all the other dogs followed suit to that dog. So it was almost like he also had a strange, intense way. In those days, that would be the late 60s, early 70s kind of time, people weren't fixing their dogs. They didn't get them fixed, including this dog, Delaney. He wasn't fixed either. So when a dog would come to fight this dog, when a dog would come and fight with Delaney, the dog, he would just pin them down. He won every dog fight, but he never was the kind of dog to fight to the death kind of thing. He wasn't
mm-hmm.
a mean spirited. He was not a mean spirited dog. What he would do was just get them down and keep them down. And there
yes.
might have been and he had a dance around the actual dog fight, and he had a beautiful movement that was sleek and gorgeous. He never was harmed and he never got bitten, but he would pin that dog down, and that was the end of it. the dog would go, the dog would walk away. He was really unusual, completely unusual. And he also was one of those dogs that when you came up to him, he would smile, meaning he would dare.
Yes. Well, when
like I said, he wasn't my dog. He didn't even like me that much. But
yes.
I respected him very much. He was a very neat dog.
Well, my mother was a person who had great difficulty saying no, and she liked dogs and cats. And my father went to Turkey, work related, and he was there for I guess about a year and a half, and she was up at what is now Bear Cottage. She was in the big house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was being renovated, and she had a man working for her, and he had a whole bunch of dogs. And people would drop dogs off on a weekend.
Yeah.
We ended up with 26 dogs and 7 cats.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of the cats were female. Was always puppies and kittens and cats. It was just grand. It was grand. We had two steers and 2 heifers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just wonderful. It really was. But I think to this day, my mother was buying 100 pounds of dog food at a time.
Uh-huh.
A good-hearted woman.
Oh,
I don't know that I
could. She loved animals. She totally loved animals. Yes. Well, of course. Now we are all different these days. We know that fixing dogs and and cats too.
I have to tell you one more thing about my mother.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
My sister and I were probably 6 and 7 then, or let's see, would be maybe 7 and 8. And we liked to dress the cats up, the kittens.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother made doll clothes that had the holes in the front so they could run. It had their paws so that it was, the doll clothes were fitted to the cats. Not like regular doll clothes, which would have the armholes. She saw us trying to put the regular doll clothes on the cats and the puppies.
Mm-hmm.
And so she started making doll clothes for us with the holes in the front.
That's adorable.
She was a wonderful mother. She really
was. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 3 sisters, or 2 sisters. One in spirit and one alive.
Mm-hmm.
Lives up in Clearfield County where my mother, where they had all the dogs.
Oh, my gosh. So it's been passed down. The house is still in the family, really.
Yes. It's been in the family since the Civil War. It was given to the family because the one son went in place of the owner. It was a tenant farm, and he went in place of the people who owned the farm, and so their son. And so the farm was given to him in place of the boy going to the Civil War.
Oh, my gosh. Fascinating.
Yeah, I guess they drafted the kid from the Patchen family, and they didn't want him to go. So my great-grandfather, I don't think he volunteered. His father probably told him, it's your turn, go. You know,
that was a very, very, these wars. When are they ever going to end?
I don't know.
I was just thinking that it's always interesting to hear about the animals at war, you know, how they, and there was this one gentleman who saved a dog and brought him back with him from, I believe, the Iraq War. Who's squeaking back there? Is that Sasha?
Sasha, yes. She's on the other side of the the door, which gives you some idea of the volume of voice that she can project.
And then he brought that dog back, and then there was a series of mishaps. But they teach us so much about life and death, and they teach.
They
us
do, and
more.
I'm happy yeah. now that these dogs are coming back from the war, because they were frequently war casualties, and that they didn't come back. They were considered the same as tools.
Yes.
Tanks and
yes.
stuff. I mean, they didn't rehabilitate them. So I'm
yes.
happy
yes.
that that's changed.
I am very happy about that. So just to let you know that we are still recording. So that this is very important for when Sheila comes on, and if she's
yes,
still talking, is she
that's
still
the
talking
one I
to
was
somebody?
Thinking that for not having 60 minutes, because some of her, some of the people that call in are very lengthy.
Yes, and so if she is talking to somebody, what I can do is tell people to stay on the line. And not
right.
hang up after the 30-minute period, and then I'll pick them up, and she can talk to them. And I believe this is probably going to go on for 30 minutes. Well, right now we have, trying to see the time. So I think we're going to go on for 20 more minutes. If you want to just keep talking, we can, just to make sure. It's either 20 more minutes or it's going to be 4 more minutes.
Okay.
But it is going to be helpful for her, because people really want to hear
oh,
what
absolutely.
She has to say. Yeah. So I have to give clear instructions at the beginning that they can just hang in there, and I'll pick them up even if they can't hear anything.
Yeah, well,
that's
a trial
it.
Run for that. And then you can find out how long it'll actually hang in there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to think of more doggy things. Instead of branching off into other conversations. I mean, I can think of a billion and one conversations and topics. My mind is like that. But I did start a new blog, as you know. It's not really a new blog, but I've been concentrating on food. And
yes.
And we got a Vitamix. And I have been feeding Pearly Vitamix concoctions. And she likes the green food. And, Ellen Canner was on the show last week, and we were talking about food.
That was so good. Which reminds me, I just got a new Vegetarian Times. I subscribed to the magazine, and they
yeah.
had bacon burgers in there. I haven't tried them out yet, but it's beans, different kinds of beans and stuff. And
yeah.
if it's a good recipe, email it to you.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, so I tried that. But the thing is, I did talk to Ellen by email since the show, and actually I wrote to her on her website, and I asked her if it's possible to raise a vegan dog. And she said that she had a dog for 15 years that ate nothing but vegetables, along with she and her husband. But then they got another dog that not only was not interested in vegan food, but wasn't really. So, in other words, you can't just make a generalization about
no.
whether these dogs will like.
No, I don't think you can. And
no.
honestly, I'm not sure that everybody is even humans. I think some humans are not made to be vegan or vegetarian.
Yeah, that's true too.
I really do. I was vegetarian for 10 years, and
mm-hmm.
I stopped because I found it difficult in family situations to not eat meat or chicken or
yeah,
fish.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it was, you know, but I feel better, and I know I'm healthier when I'm eating vegetarian. So
yeah.
for me, it's a good fit. But I have come over the years to realize that for some people, it isn't a good fit. Maybe
well,
because
they don't want to change.
I don't
maybe,
know.
But yeah, I think that yeah, I can't force anybody to do anything, but what I have noticed is that it's becoming more and more of a necessity to make some changes that save the earth. For instance, if...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
and when I say that,
yeah,
that somebody isn't necessarily vegetarian, that doesn't mean that I am saying that what they need is 10-inch steaks every day.
Well, we know that they'll probably,
And as a world, that we have to really consider the huge cost of meat eating, the huge cost in water and in feed, and, you know, I mean, it's just, it's outrageous. And
well, this is
and
the thing, you know, Monsanto was, and all the other genetically engineered companies, were really, they were created because of the American lifestyle of eating meat. I mean, really, we are not victims of Monsanto. This is just something I came up with since, since the Monsanto Protection Act was passed this week, had to do with the fact that if you die of cancer because of the crappy food you eat, which the majority of food nowadays, fast food and all the junk food and all the you know, it's in wheat and all the buns and all the stuff that almost anything that you get out in the world is genetically engineered. So my point is that if you get sick and die from these foods, you can't sue Monsanto. That's what the Monsanto Protection Act is. This is disturbing. That was very disturbing. And I thought, well, you know, really, in essence, Monsanto, we are not victims of Monsanto. If everybody would come to the aha moment to realize that Monsanto exists because of all the meat eaters, the 99-cent hamburgers out there at McDonald's Burger King and all this and that. And if we just basically made these changes, which also would release, which would help the earth because of all the carbon emissions that are being used to create these farms and all this and that. So I think just a simple thing of not eating meat would go a long way to not
bring
Monsanto on their knees.
I agree.
And I'd like
to see them on their knees.
Yeah, I love the food of vegetarian, vegan food. It's just, I've been cooking, and I haven't cooked a meal in years. I mean, Tom had a heart attack in 1993 or so, and I took up the macrobiotic cooking for a while. And that was pretty boring. Not that it has to be boring. That was, but it wasn't as interesting at all as vegan cooking is. And
I like vegetarian cooking, and I like some vegan stuff, but I like cheese, and I like
eggs. Yes. Well, it's better probably than eating a bunch of beef.
Yeah, that would lump me out of the vegan.
It does knock you out of the vegan. So, but then again, it's better than eating a lot of meat.
Oh, it is. But I could easily just eat vegetarian. I love fish. I can eliminate chicken and beef, but I really like fish. So that's where I'm weak.
Well, it doesn't sound like you eat very much meat.
No, I don't eat much. And for me, it's really a social thing, is that I have members of my family, all of them except me, are meat eaters. And my son-in-law is just, well, his idea of a perfect meal is about 5 different kinds of meat and possibly French fries.
Oh, that dear soul. Is he healthy?
No. Could you be healthy eating that way?
Some people are. This is what I was going to tell you, that 300,000 Indian farmers have committed suicide because of Monsanto as a protest. I put it in my food blog today. as a protest against Monsanto, because Monsanto came barreling in, making all kinds of promises, and basically took away their land and grew and started growing genetically modified foods. And the farmers in protest, 300,000 and counting probably, have committed suicide by drinking the very pesticide that goes into the seed. At first I thought they committed suicide by eating the seed. But no, that wasn't it. They actually drank the pesticide that went into the seed. So this is a tremendous, tragedy that hasn't really been reported in the mainstream press. But it has brought to the attention of the Indian government, and they have banned Monsanto from ever coming into their country again.
Wow.
Yeah. So we are the only country in the world that allows this shenanigans to take place.
And
because all the other ones have banned them. I mean, they're just basically, it's just a no-brainer. Why would you want them around? When you take control of a seed and make it so that there isn't any other potential for growing the seeds for generations, there's no more heirloom plants, all of a sudden it's doing away with our indigenous seed population. When you take seeds and basically ruin them like that, you actually are taking the life force out of the plant, out of the people, who are trying to eat healthily, and the farmers are really suffering as a result of this.
Yeah.
So it's a real interesting kind of phenomenon.
And scary, Kate.
Yes, I'm not happy about it at all.
Yeah, it's very scary. I keep sending things when they have updates on Monsanto and, protesting this and protesting that. And boy, they just,
A beautiful young woman was arrested outside of the White House yesterday for protesting Monsanto, probably protesting the Monsanto Protection Act is what I gather. And she wasn't doing anything. She wasn't armed or anything. She was just this person trying to maybe gain signatures for a petition or something innocent like that. And she was arrested. But once again, when people are arrested, that brings attention to the situation. When 300,000 Indian farmers commit suicide in protest for Monsanto, that actually will make a change. So there's a lot of people that are completely freaked out by this Monsanto Protection Act. And obviously it's not helping any of us. It's not helping the animals.
No.
It's not helping anybody.
But you
see,
this whole thing of having the most and the cheapest and the, it's a glut.
It is.
Non-food.
There is one congressperson who is responsible for that Monsanto Protection Act, and she is going to get it. You know what I'm saying? She was the one who was responsible for letting that happen, although I would assume the President of the United States is also responsible. I mean, there's no sense in the President really is the one who should say the buck stops here and I take responsibility and no, we are not going to pass this. That's really, really what it comes down to.
But he doesn't.
But no, he doesn't. And there's no sense in scapegoating this poor, not a poor congressperson, but somebody who was responsible for it shouldn't be scapegoated. I really do believe it's the President's responsibility.
Yeah. Can you hear her singing in the background?
Yes, she has a beautiful voice.
Well, she does, and she has one beautiful voice, but she has another voice that's ever been store with a kid who could scream at that pitch that made you feel like you should throw your head back and scream too?
Yes.
But that one too.
Well, it's I bet she's kind of screeching in Gandalf's ear is what I'm gathering.
Well, you know, it's funny because I have these squeaky toys.
Yeah.
And when he squeaks it too much, that snake, when she squeaks that snake too much, he goes in the other room. So evidently, he doesn't care for that.
Well, she is a puppy.
Oh, yes, she is. She is.
Now,
woo,
that dear little soul. Well, let them out. Let them both out, and let's see what happens.
Oh, well, I don't have to let them out. I just need to open the door.
Open the door is what I mean. Open it. See what happens.
Oh, he's right beside the door. Sasha? Sasha. That's Sasha's voice.
She, what a talker. My gosh.
She's trying to get him to play with her.
That is a, oh my gosh, animals, beasts, they're beasts.
They're so funny.
I guess they've been playing all day, and he's like saying, leave me alone, right?
Exactly, exactly. He said, enough, enough, enough. She says, no, no, it's never enough. Never enough.
Well, when she gets to be his age, it will be.
Exactly.
Well, that is a precious, precious thing. Now, we are still on record, and let's give this 4 more minutes. I'll just wrap it up because I assume it'll go off in 4 minutes. And if it doesn't, we'll just keep talking to see how long it goes. But
okay.
Anyway.
Can you hear that sounding?
Yeah.
That's rustling.
Yeah. I'm so glad that they got out of their room. I just love them. How's Sasha with other dogs besides Gandalf?
Oh, she's good. She's good because Pat takes her, my granddaughter runs. So whenever she goes to a race, Pat is the one that takes her, my daughter.
Yeah.
And they're just having this wonderful wrestling match. And so when she takes her to the race, then her and Sasha walk.
Yes.
She said Sasha is very good and nice with people. And she has this wonderful thing where when you come up to her, she lays her ears back and holds her head up. That's when she gets kissed.
Oh, that's adorable.
It is. It's so sweet. And in the morning, she does what I call a woo-woo. She goes, woo-woo, when she sees me in the morning when I come downstairs.
Oh.
Of course, Gandalf has already beat me to the bottom of the steps, and he's sitting at the gate. You know, he's waiting to get on the other side of the gate.
Well, doesn't she sleep with you? Oh, she doesn't go upstairs.
They don't want her to go upstairs, so.
Yes. This is a perfect ending to this show, listening to them snarling around. I love this.
Sex. You want to go out? Now?
Oh.
Okay.
Just open the door.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I'm really blessed. Because I planned it that way.
Yes.
That I
yes.
have. I just open the door and the porch is all closed in, so the dogs just go from the porch to the fenced in yard.
Perfect.
Perfect. It's lovely.
And you have that beautiful gate that you just made.
Yes.
Now they've gone out.
Yes. But you can see how exciting it is. Before anybody gets outside, there's all that chatting and going on. Well, you know.
Well, it must be delightful to be with them. Now, I'm assuming this is going to end in a minute.
So okay.
I'm going to you know, just tell you that I love you and thank you so much for doing this because I know it's been an hour out of your day, but it was fun. And
it was fun, Kate. It's always fun to talk to you. And it was.
Yeah.
I'm so delighted you got a chance to hear Sasha and her chatting.
That is really fun. Absolutely. Well, guess what? The recording is still going on. Isn't that bizarre?
It is. So maybe they could be giving you, who knows?
An hour and a half. It's probably an hour and a half.
It could be, and you may need it for Sheila.
I don't think I would need it for too many more people, but
no,
yeah.
But I bet you that there's people waiting in line to talk to her.
Yes.
And
so
not only are their
her.
Stories long, then her answers are long.
Yes.
I mean, to fit that into a half
wonderful.
An hour is going to be ticky.
Possible, but I think it's, what you could do is hang up, and I'm just going to keep the lines open to see how long it does last.
Okay, well.
I mean, I don't want to keep you from your evening. So
well,
we've talked for
check
we've
on
talked
the two
for now.
Looney Tunes in the yard then. Curly a big kiss for me and tell Tom I said hi.
Yes, love to you.
And wonderful to talk to you, Kate.
It was really fun. Thank you.
Bye, honey.
Thank you. That's the word. Thank you for humoring me.
no, not at all.
Good night.
Good night, honey.